On a cool fall night here in Los Angeles, California, this is A Gardener's Notebook. If you enjoy A Gardener's Notebook, please consider a review in the iTunes podcast directory or a tip in our online tip jar. You'll find links on the website at welchrite.com/AGN. That's welchrite.com/AGN. Well, hello everybody and welcome back to my garden. It's been a whirlwind of a month, culminating in the Podcast and Portable Media Expo, which took place last weekend here in Ontario, California. I was involved in setting up 2 days of live recordings on the show floor with the LA podcasters, including a live version of my other podcast, Career Opportunities. A large majority of my fellow Friends in Tech members were also in attendance, allowing our, well, seemingly yearly face-to-face meetings as we're scattered all over the country. As you might imagine, it was quite a weekend, and I'm still recovering somewhat. All the work leading up to the event kept me away from the microphone, if not out of the garden entirely. That said, there's a lot of activity in the pipeline for A Gardener's Notebook. A few weeks ago, my wife Roseanne and I attended a free composting workshop, which are offered regularly by the Los Angeles County Waste Management District here. While we've been composting for, a while now, a little extra knowledge can never hurt. It also gave us an opportunity to purchase 2 new composting bins at half the retail price. That was actually one of the major reasons we went. I've assembled one of them already as kind of a test case for our upcoming video on composting. The delivery pallet for our clawfoot tub, which we've been using for the last 8 years, has finally given up the ghost, so it's a perfect time to move the compost pile into a new arrangement. The new bins are vertical, with an easy access door in the bottom, and that'll probably make it a lot easier to actually use the compost we create. Right now, we have to pull back the uncomposted material on the top to reach the compost on the bottom, and we very rarely do it, actually. It'll also neaten up that section of the garden and make the pile a little less visible from the back door. Despite its usefulness, some aesthetic issues must be observed as well. Our trip to the workshop also netted us something which I'm going to give away to you. At the end of the workshop, we each received a professionally produced DVD of the composting workshop we just participated in. So I have 2 of these DVDs to give away. To enter the contest, sign up for the Gardener's Notebook mailing list between now and the end of October. At the end of October, I'll pick 2 names from the currently subscribed members on the mailing list and send those out to you. The DVDs are really nicely produced. We had a live presenter doing our session, but these are typical, glossy, professionally produced DVDs, and they cover backyard composting, worm composting, grass recycling, water-wise gardening, and fire-wise gardening. Now, the last 2, of course, are more important here in Southern California, but there are a lot of areas where wildfire is definitely an issue. The DVDs run about 1.5 hours in length. Again, to have a chance at winning one of these DVDs, simply join the Gardener's Notebook mailing list. You'll find a link on the blog post for this episode. There's also a link on the top of every Gardener's Notebook blog page. As I mentioned earlier, keep a watch out for the next Douglas and Joe show on setting up the new compost bins and moving our existing site. If you're subscribed to the Gardener's Notebook feed, you may have seen Joe and I's first video on setting up our new bird feeders. I gotta watch the guy, though. He's talking to the producers already about having me written out. Our gardening book review today is The $64 Tomato by William Alexander. It's a story as old as America itself. When we dream big. Big houses, big cars, and in the case of the $64 tomato, big gardens. In this book, author William Alexander details his love-hate relationship with his garden. I knew I was going to love this book within the first chapter when I found myself laughing out loud time and time again. Alexander perfectly captures the idealism and absurdity that usually accompany any home improvement project. I must say that after my childhood of helping my grandmother and my father in the garden, and even reluctantly as a child maintaining my own garden patch, I found it a bit ludicrous that anyone would actually set out to design a vegetable garden. In my experience, you usually just mark out the area, have the neighbor plow it up and disc it down for you, lay out some string lines, and plant. Aesthetics were rarely, if ever, an issue. Now you bring in experts, test the soil, try new exotic varieties of plants, and, so it seems, endure many failures. While the book is funny, it's also a trifle sad. There is an underlying current of hubris which seems to thrive in the heart of every American. We like to think we can conquer and control anything, even nature itself, when, in reality, we can only hold back nature for short periods of time, and even then, only in relatively small areas. It's also a story of having eyes too large for our stomachs. Rows and rows of zucchini that must be given away if not forced on the neighbors. Yes, we love having fresh food from our very own gardens, but it seems we have no self-control. If some is good, then more must certainly be better, right? The $64 tomato was so entertaining and enlightening because it's so true. Anyone with any aspirations to gardening will recognize themselves in its pages. Gardening, like life itself, is about struggle, and this book details many struggles with bugs, grass, weeds, and neighbors. Even then, I can guess that these were only a small portion of the troubles that occurred in the real garden. Television writers, like my wife, constantly deal with this issue. Just because something happened in real life, oftentimes the viewers will never believe it. I would guess that there are many more stories that this gardening author has yet to tell. The saddest part, but one that rings true, is the author's struggle in finding balance between gardening as a task and gardening as a joy. I know that I experience this every day in my own garden, and I'm sure you do too. It's a rare gardener who can find joy in pulling weeds time and time again. That said, don't let the dandelions get you down. Pour a nice cool lemonade, preferably made from your own lemons. Sit back in your favorite chair and enjoy, if just for a moment, the garden you've created. Well, I certainly hope you don't spend $64 for each tomato you harvest. This book can make you laugh and give you solace in the knowledge that most gardeners are happily suffering right along with you. The $64 Tomato, written by William Alexander, published by Algonquin Books of Chapel Hill, North Carolina. You'll find Amazon links on the website. Oh my God, Doug, there's a rat in the garden! These are the words that greeted me one morning as I stumbled over to get my first cup of coffee for the day. Not exactly what you want to hear before you've been fully caffeinated. Blinking the sleep out of my eyes, I could see that, yes, there was indeed a rat sitting in the small bird feeder, happily munching away on the cracked corn and sunflower mix I had begun using recently. Now, while this rat was large, it wasn't, you know, New York sewer rat large. Much bigger than a mouse and with a very long tail, it was either a Rattus rattus, or a roof rat, as they call it out here, which is an introduced species, or it could have been one of our native wood rats. I really didn't get a close enough look to tell. This was the first time I'd seen any indication that there were rats in the garden, but we do have friends that have had them, especially where there are large groves of ivy and stuff like that. In my case, I think it has more to do with the changes in my bird feeding arrangements, unfortunately. Prior to our annual summer party, I placed a feeder closer to the house so we could see the birds from the kitchen and the pergola area. This was an old feeder with no squirrel or, in this case, other rodent protection. I figured I'd take it down after the party, but of course I hadn't gotten around to it. I'd also changed over to a cracked corn-based food to try and attract different birds to the garden. I think it was both of these that led to our little visitor. After talking with my naturalist friend Carrie Dearborn, who you've heard from in the past, it seemed that I would probably have to set some traps at night to eliminate our new visitor. She's dealt with them in the past and found them to be quite persistent. Frankly, not wanting to deal with that much work, I figured I'd try just eliminating his food supply first to see if he would move on. Down came the feeder and another unprotected pole feeder I'd set up, and I emptied out the one feeder I sacrificed to the local squirrel population. Since then, I've really not seen any evidence that he's returned. We haven't seen him in the garden or in the ivy growing on the garden shed in the back or anything like that. I'll keep an eye out for him, and if I need to take further measures, I will, but for now it appears we're rat-free. We have had an immature red-tailed red-shouldered hawk in the garden as well, so I was also kind of silently hoping that he might take care of our little rodent problem, but despite evidence of his feeding on our local morning doves, no rats were found among the remains. There's an excellent website that discusses issues and control of rats from the University of California Statewide Integrated Pest Management Program. Wow, what a mouthful. Found that on Google. I'll put a link in the show notes. And that brings us to the end of Another Gardener's Notebook. If you enjoy a Gardener's Notebook, please consider a review in the iTunes podcast directory or a tip in our online chip jar. Join the gardening discussion on the Gardener's Notebook mailing list and have a chance at winning one of the two DVDs on a variety of composting methods I mentioned earlier. You'll find links on the website at welchrite.com/AGN. Again, that's welchrite.com/AGN. If you're listening to a Gardener's Notebook directly from the website, please consider subscribing for free. You'll receive each new show automatically, directly to your computer or your iPod, if you have one. Visit our subscription page at welchrite.com/subscribe. Until next time, keep composting, keep digging, and be well. Crickets on today's recording provided courtesy of My Backyard. The theme music for A Gardener's Notebook is The One by the Woodshedders, a.k.a. the Hot Club of West Virginia, courtesy of the PodSafe Music Network at music.podshow.com. In my stride, sure get the job done. Up and out like a bird, and just like the sun, your love is the one. Clouds in the sky, oh no, they ain't none. Flowers on the side, and I will get you some. The side of the road, that river just flows.